Welcome to the Dark Star Adventure Cast, where the stars are cold, the void is endless, and danger lurks in every shadow. Out here, trust is a gamble, and survival is never guaranteed. On tonight's Adventure Cast...
Nexus took my entire family and whatever the fuck happened there, and I want revenge.
I had a slap fight with him, and you just blew off his head. It's wonderful to meet you.
So there I was, trapped behind the barrels. There were six guys fanning out to surround us.
And I hold my fist up, and tattooed across my knuckles is B-R-I-K, Brick.
Now, let's make a deal. This is the Dark Star Adventure Cast.
The scapegoat hums gently as it cruises between the stars. The jump is smooth, the alarms are quiet, and for once, no one's bleeding. In the cargo bay, makeshift chairs are pulled into a loose circle as the crew takes a moment to breathe. Half lit by hanging work lights, the air smells faintly of solder, old coffee, and whatever that smell is coming out of Froggy's den in the corner. Haley's hooked up her music to the Aurora stereo system, and someone's cracked a bottle from the emergency stash. Laughter is echoing off the bulkhead walls.
Okay.
Oh, no. So
there I am, mid... Here, hold on. Robert, hold this death stick for me. So there I am, mid-heist, right? Pants around my ankles, the alarm is blaring, smoke is billowing everywhere, I can barely see anything, and then that drone rounds the corner, locks onto me. I thought I was done for, I thought I was gone. But instead of firing, the damned thing starts singing, like serenading me. Man, turns out my so-called friend decided to replace my hack with a romance subroutine. Oh my god. Oh,
only you, Felix.
I never ran so fast.
Felix, you don't deserve the good things that come your way sometimes.
Just a lucky guy, I guess. Here, I'll take that back now, Robert.
Yeah. Now, that earned you a drink, Felix, for sure. Haley, of course, Thorn. Yeah, I'll fill you up, but I think it's time you tell us your secret. You said the goat's name because you got framed? Let's hear it already.
Well, it's not exactly a secret. It's just a painful memory.
I'd like to hear it. Pour you a drink. Now's a good time as any, Captain.
All right, I'll give you the full story. Back on my home world, Zephyrus 3, my family has a shipping company, Draxus Goods. Family owned and operated for generations. You name it, we deliver it. But it was entirely on Zephyrus 3, and I always thought that was a little bit of a waste. I thought, why don't we grow this business into something interstellar? So many customers out there among the stars that we could trade with. My mom, she's in charge of the business. She never agreed with me. No, Thorny, it's too risky. No, Thorny, we don't have the funds. No. So I met up with this guy, William Salarist. He was with Nexus Corp. And I thought, oh, one of the corpos. Yeah, I'm a young dumbass. Maybe if I work with them, they'll actually help me. Biggest mistake of my life up to that point. Salarist guy basically framed me for smuggling. And because of me getting in trouble, my family lost the whole business. He ended up taking it over. And then I went to jail. My whole family disowned me. I haven't even talked to my mom in the better part of 10 years. I don't know if she's mad or what happened, but while I was in prison, no one said a word.
And that's it?
Yeah, pretty much.
Thorn, there's got to be more to it than that. I mean, I went deep on my story, man. I told you everything. Man, you know how hard it was for me to talk about Petey.
Come on, Thorn.
All right. It's only fair. I guess there is a little bit more than that. Maybe I didn't. Just out of habit, maybe I left some stuff out. So, like I told you, I got out a little early from that sentence. It was supposed to be a 12-year stint in prison, but I got out after about 10, because Omnitech, of all, bought my contract, and they wanted me to be part of something called Project Red Wing. Sound familiar?
No shit. Yeah. Damn.
So, thankfully, that didn't happen after hearing about what happened to Petey. Sorry, buddy. I'd have made a shitty AI anyway.
Yeah, you dodged a bullet there for sure.
Well, what I didn't tell you is after I got out of prison and before that happened, I had a bunch of downtime before I got transported to Kamiri 4. So I set myself up to try and find that bastard Salaris. Wherever he was, whatever he was doing, he was going to pay for taking my family and my company away. I bought myself a brand new data pad, 500 hours on the ExoNet, and I went down to the local ramen shop and got myself a bowl. I was in it for the long haul, but barely an hour later, I found what I thought was a complete dead end. The articles were everywhere. Salaris was dead. Got killed in some kind of maglev crash about a year before that. Something happened where the transport glitched out and it nosedived right into a residential block. Killed Salaris, everyone on board, and a bunch of local residents.
So he got a quick death? That's annoying.
Yeah.
What you thought? You find his grave and piss on it?
Well, that was the plan. But some things changed. The first thing I did is I got myself a drink. And another. And another. And not long after that, I was blackout drunk wandering around the streets of Polyphin. I remember sitting in a gutter, the rain pouring down, my data pad on the ground next to me, the one that nobody knew I had, the one that I just bought hours before. Well, it beeped with a message. No sender. It just said, Salaris is not dead. He's been erased. And attached to it was some kind of cipher key and instructions to meet up with somebody called Mara. Seemed like it was always raining on Polyphin, which honestly I didn't mind.
Rain slicks the metal walkways of Hakame Prefecture on Polyphin, pooling in the cracks of plasteel and rusted grates. Neon light spills from the entrance of Club Curvalux, blues, reds, purples, flickering through the alley like a broken memory. The bass thumps through the wall at your back, steady as a heartbeat. A nearby vent hisses steam, and the air smells like burnt synth oil and soy noodles. Thorn pulls out his new datapad and reads the message again for the 100th time this hour. Salaris lives. He's been erased. Meet in the alley behind Curalux. Midnight. Bring muscle. And at the end of the message is a cipher key, a nonsense string of letters and numbers that probably go to something important, but Thorn's never been so good with tech and hasn't the damnedest idea what this could mean. The muscle that Thorn has brought is his best and only friend, Kano Ricks, a short and lean man with the sides of his head shaved and a tousled mess on top. He wears loose streetwear in earth tones covered in patches and the odd symbols of his Shintech faith. Thorn feels like he's been waiting all night when finally, from deep within the alley, two men step from the shadows. They approach cautiously, their hands visible at their sides.
It might be them, Kay. And I start walking over.
We've been waiting certainly long enough. How do you know it's them?
Well, there's only one way to find out. I nod back at them.
Did they at least give you a sign, something to initiate our clandestine meeting?
Yeah, there was a secret handshake I'm supposed to do. No, they didn't give me anything.
The men approach. Their hands are visible at their sides.
I hold mine like half up, like obviously I'm not holding a weapon.
I try to initiate the secret handshake.
The man that's slightly in front looks at your hand outstretched and kind of stares you down.
What's your name?
I'm Thorn. You Mara?
He turns and looks at his friend and looks back at you.
Thorn Draxus?
Yeah?
I'm told you have something for me.
And I'm told that you have something for me. Information?
The information's coming, but I need to make sure you have what is owed to us.
I think to myself that they possibly mean the key, or is it something else?
The key seems to be all you have connected to this meeting.
Do I have it in a physical form that I can hand over, or is this going to be more of a...
It's just the message on your datapad is all you have.
All right, so I just I pull up the cipher and hold my datapad pointing out at this guy so that he can see the screen with most of the cipher visible. This is what you're looking for?
He looks over at his friend. His friend gives a nod. Yeah, that's it. He puts out his hand. The data pad, Thorn.
I just hand it over. I don't have any attachment to this pad. I've had it for, like, all of a day.
He puts it in his coat pocket. You're lucky, then. And he walks away.
Wait, where's my intel?
He stops. Listen, kid. I came here expecting to beat the shit out of you. You gave me the data pad. I'm gonna let you leave with your nose intact.
I kind of glance over at Kano, like, are you seeing this shit?
really did not want to be the muscle in this case. Kindly, gentlemen, sir, would you mind handing back our datapad? I don't believe that is rightfully yours.
He turns, cracking his neck and then the knuckles on both hands, and he says,
I was looking forward to a fight. And your friend here, Thorn? I think he's proposing one.
From out of the sleeve of his coat pocket comes a baton. His friend pulls one out as well, and they approach. Roll initiative.
I think these are the wrong fellas.
I told you to ask for the secret handshake.
Well, I think the time for the exchange of words has come to a close, my friend. The time for the exchange of blows has begun.
And this is why you brought me, Thorn. Let's get to it.
Couldn't do it without you, my friend.
The man that was slightly lagging behind beat out the initiative order, so it's going to go him, and then Kano, and then Thorn, and then the leader who has the datapad in his pocket. So the guy who is slightly larger and hasn't said a word rushes forward and takes a swing at Kano with his baton. Does he hit with a 15?
He indeed does, with an AC of 15.
Oh, okay. You take 3 points of damage. Whack. The stun baton rockets towards you and hits you with a bout of electricity as it strikes you.
That was your first mistake, sir.
You won't get a chance to make another.
The thing I have readied is a pistol.
Samesies. What would Kano do?
He would connect with the Kami spirit of the datapad and take the datapad out of his pocket and slap him in the face with it.
Oh my god. Okay, so you're going to try to basically grab the datapad. So you're going to do a punch to try to hit him, but with no damage. And then if that succeeds, you will do a dexterity check or some skill that may... I think dexterity is probably... Oh no, an exert check. That's what,
yeah, I'm going to snag it.
Nice. A 12 will hit him.
That's just a normal punch.
Rolling this guy's punch. Ooh, you beat him by one.
Yeah, nice.
So you roll your punch, you snake in underneath his jacket, and you grab the datapad from inside his jacket as he scrambles to stop you, and then he raises up his baton to attack. But before this guy can bring his baton down upon you, Thorny old boy, what you got?
You know, Thorn's trying not to attract too much attention, nor is he the type of person who's going to jump to murder at this point. I still... just want my datapad back. It looks like my good friend Kano has secured it. So what I want to do is probably just... I get next to Kano, like half behind him, basically. I can see that this other guy who's right here that he just wrestled the thing from is probably not going to be happy about that.
Right.
So I'm either going to duck behind Kano, or if they go for Kano, I'm going to just try to like punch him in the throat. So I'm holding my action.
So, first of all, goon number two attacked Kano and hit for 3 damage. Goon number one was pickpocketed by Kano a moment later. Kano is facing both of these guys. He's just tanking both of them. Thorn, you're next to him, but slightly behind him, because Kano moved up to be the muscle. So, he wants that datapad back. And he doesn't care about taking it back right now. He just cares about stomping Kano into the ground, and then he can take it back. So he raises his baton to do that. Would you like to make your snap attack?
They're going for Kano?
Yep. There will be one more guy attacking before your next turn.
Yeah, I'm just going to punch him. So this guy raises his weapon to attack Kano, and I notice the opening, and I try to just quickly like punch him in his exposed areas.
In his exposed areas?
Yeah, you know what I mean. I get a 17, which I hope hits.
Yeah, that hits him. A 17 hits. How much damage?
One.
You only do 1d2 damage?
Yeah, I mean, that's what an unarmed attack is.
Yeah, we're not Haley.
Oh, yeah. Boy. So you punch this guy in the throat and he goes, and he stumbles back a little bit, and then his baton comes crashing down on Kano. You did not interrupt his attack, obviously.
I thought about trying to knock him down, but it seems so unlikely.
Man, I hope I don't roll very well.
Me too. Yes.
Oh, I rolled a 4. Great. Kano lives.
I do indeed. I make it to the next scene. One more scene.
And I helped.
I do take just a whiff, just a tickling of shock damage, but I'm still standing. Just barely, but still standing.
Like when you lick a battery, that's the kind of shock damage you got.
Yeah, I'm truly feeling the spirit of the machine here. Oh, sweet Jesus. Never been closer.
So the bruiser, the slightly larger guy, it's his turn. So yep. He is going to try to snatch the data pad from Kano as Kano rocks back and forth on his feet. He rolls his punch. 16 gets you, so he succeeds on his punch. And now roll your punch as a skill, Kano. He got a 10. Ooh.
And I got a 7.
So you're about to lose the data pad. However, as an expert, you can reroll a skill.
I do believe I am going to play dirty and try to kick him in an indeterminate position.
Yeah. Go for the shins. Yeah. Oh, wait, no.
Oh, so close. I rolled a 9.
You rolled a 9, which is better, but he got a 10. So he snatches the data pad. Now he has it in his hand. Oh, man, we got a data pad hot potato going on. And that took up his turn.
But Kano, he does have some very soul shins.
His shins are smarting, let me tell you. Okay, Kano, you are dangerously close to being unconscious. What would you like to do?
Well, now that I'm in position, I'm going to try to steal the data pad and then use my full movement to run away.
There are an attack of opportunity type thing.
Yeah, you'd have to do a fighting withdrawal, which is like a disengage.
And then I'm going to stand here like the badass I am and take it like a man.
And just hope he misses.
Uh-huh, pretty much.
Well, you crushed that attack roll.
I did roll an 18, so me wanty.
Do you want to use your punch or do an exert deck?
Oh, we're going a big punch-a-rooney for 10. Sir, that is mine. Thank you. I'm sorry. I know you were trying to just take a quick photo of us, but unfortunately, I will be taking that back. Thank you.
Kano rolled a 10, and this bruiser rolled an 8. So you snatch it back from him, and then you're moving away, thus incurring 2 attacks of opportunity. Is that what you're doing?
No, I think I'm just going to stand here like a man and take it.
Okay, do you want me to take it from you and run?
It's probably not a terrible idea.
Not to abandon my good friend. It's either that or I'm pushing one of these guys onto the ground. Or just, swallowing my pride and putting a laser through him.
I am currently on the ground in a fetal position holding the data pad going, mine, mine, mine.
I'm not going to leave my only friend on the planet, though.
So. I mean, you can totally just steal it, and then all of a sudden, Jano joins the adventure.
Jano. So I'm going to draw my readied laser pistol. Now that Kano is on the ground holding the pad, and I'm going to brandish it at these 2 guys, and I'm going to say, unless you want a mouthful of laser, I think the 2 of you ought to back off right now.
So go ahead and roll a...
You got to give your boy a talk charisma.
It's going to be a talk charisma, and I'm going to give you a +2 because you are pointing a gun at them.
Oh, this is what I like. This is what Thorny is all about.
I spent 10 years in the clink. Don't test me.
Is that a good Thorn? Is that a good Thorn voice?
No.
I ain't going back.
I am not going back to prison.
Isn't that your catchphrase from the first episode?
Yeah, that's my catchphrase.
What did you do? What didn't I do? Let me tell
I
you.
Am not going back to prison. Anyway, I got a 12.
Is pretty high. That's very high. That beats the threshold out of the water. Okay. So on the next guy's turn, the leader, he raises his baton, but he doesn't look scared. He looks like he understands that the tide has shifted, and that's just a part of being in the underworld.
You are just going to back away, and me and my buddy are going to take my data pad and get out of here.
He looks over at his friend and taps him with the baton, and the 2 of them back away slowly.
As they're backing up, I still got the gun pointed at them, and I do not take my eyes off of them, but I reach down with my other hand and help Kano up to his feet.
At that moment, the screech of air brakes slashes through the rain. Turning, you see a battered grav car with a hulking man behind the wheel at the edge of the alley just 15 feet away. You notice a woman, barely visible behind him in the passenger seat. They are polar opposites. She is tough and wiry, with black hair shoved under her hat, and he is a tall, blonde, broad-shouldered man covered in tattoos.
Thorn Draxus, get in the car.
I look back, confused. I look at the 2 guys, confused. and I help Kano the rest of the way up, and I just start backing towards the car, hoping that the second time someone in this alley knew my name, that it was the right one.
The guys keep their hands up, and then as you reach the car, one of the guys starts reaching towards his coat pocket.
Can I lay down some covering fire?
Can I shoot him from the car?
Yes. So go ahead and roll to hit. Both of you, just go ahead and roll at the same time. You're shooting past bricks, so I need you to take a minus two.
As you guys are doing that, I'm rolling into the car.
Rolling in.
I got the data pad. I keep tasting metal.
Dude, look at my roll. Look at my... I rolled a 19. I actually got a 20, but the minus two fucked me. But oh. 19 for 6 damage. Straight
Stephanie.
Shot straight to the head, right over a brick, because I am here on business.
Boom, boom.
Thorn, you lay down covering fire, and you just shoot wildly. You understand nothing about pistols, especially because you just got out of prison. This is probably the first time you fired this laser pistol that you picked up on the black market just a couple weeks before.
Yeah, probably.
Meanwhile, this woman in the passenger seat shoots past her friend's face, almost skimming his nose with a bullet as it rockets out the driver's side window and blows the head off of the hired goon. The leader one looks at you, then looks down at him. He doesn't move, and then he just gestures towards the car.
Yeah, I'm already half in it at this point.
Bonvar, it's time to go.
I had a slap fight with him, and you just blew off his head. It's wonderful to meet you.
Wait, you're Mara?
Who the fuck are you?
This is Kano. Don't worry about it.
I start driving.
No, I am gonna worry about it. You had two Nexus goons after you. What the fuck do you think this is?
I thought it was supposed to be some kind of a meetup. I had no idea what you looked like.
A meetup?
How? He's my cover. I'd be dead without him right now.
I sent you a simple message, and now we have Nexus bodies. Like, do you know what's going on here?
How do they know I was going to be here?
At that moment, behind you, you see a very conspicuous pair of headlights pull out into the street behind your grav car and begin to follow you at a very consistent pace.
Mar, looks like we might have some company. Better get everybody buckled in back there.
All right, Brick. It's probably Nexus. You know where we're going?
Yeah, I got this.
Good.
How'd they know where we were going to meet? It wasn't me.
I received a message to come find Thorn Draxus. Said you knew something about Salaris, that you were looking for him.
It's true, but I also received a message to meet someone called Mara, and that I should bring muscle.
And I gesture at Kano, who's innocent in all of this.
I'm the muscle!
So what do you know about Salaris?
Salaris was...
At that moment, the car zooms forward and taps the back of your bumper, almost making you spin out, Brick. I need you to roll your pilot skill, which we're using for driving. This is to not spin out and keep your grav car on the road. And at this point, it's becoming very clear to you that you either need to engage with this car or you need to escape this car.
What stat am I modifying my pilot roll with?
That will be a pilot dex.
Okay, thank you. I rolled an 8.
Blew it out of the water. Nice.
Brick grabs hold of the wheel. I make the corrections to stop spinning out, and I get a bit of distance from the car, and I get ready to make a move as I know the intersection's coming up, and I think I have a way to maybe gain some ground and lose these guys.
Okay, and you know Hakume Prefecture very well. You grew,
I grew up,
here,
baby. Block 6.
Not that far away, and Block 6, baby.
Block 6!
You are rocketing down what is normally, you know, not necessarily a sleepy street, but there's a lot of street lights, there's a lot of businesses. The rain-slick streets of Hakume Prefecture are sliding by as cars in front of you are just in the way. You're going around them. The screech of the grab brakes. You get some distance between you and them, but they are not giving up that easy.
Brick, be careful. Need to make sure these guys are actually who they say they are. Because for all I know, you guys are more Nexus goons, just like the two that are coming after us. I have been on the hunt for this man Salaris for a whole frickin' year, and I am not going to let you two mess it up. I heard you had information that you also want this guy dead, so let's frickin' see it. Everyone says he died in a maglev crash. There were no survivors, but I know that's not true.
And just how exactly do you know that?
There was a survivor, and it was me. Nexus took my entire family and whatever the fuck happened there, and I want revenge, and you are my best chance to get it.
Sounds like we have a lot in common then.
Good, because you're in it now. This is my last chance to get this done. Are you in?
Brick, you've reached the intersection. It's time for you to do the maneuver that you planned out. What were you planning on doing?
All right, so I'm going to quickly navigate. As there's a couple cars stopped in front of me, the light ahead, I'm going to switch into the oncoming lane, maneuver around a car, try to get a big truck I see coming in between me and the guys behind me, and take a sharp corner, try to lose them in a little kerfuffle in the intersection.
Okay, this is well within your skill ability, so go ahead and do your same roll as before with your DC of 6.
That's a 7, baby.
Okay, cool. Woo-hoo. Now, you need to get 3 successful escape rolls, so that's your second one. You got a good distance away, now you have a semi between you and them. The action that Brick is putting you guys through in the back seat is throwing back and forth. Kano, you bash the side of your head against the glass, and it smart.
Was at 1 HP, and now I'm potentially pretty much unconscious. I'm at 0.5% HP.
You're at 1 HP? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so you bash your head.
Where'd you get this driver?
And you are reeling, my dude. You are reeling.
I'm currently seeing stars. I'm holding this data pad like it is a teddy bear. I hope it was important.
Mara, we're almost there and in the clear. Can we trust these guys?
You know what? We don't have a choice.
We're the ones who just got into a car with a couple of strangers after fighting 2 Nexus goons in an alley. If there's anyone you can trust, it's us.
And we just picked you up on faith alone.
Good, and as soon as I think of a way to prove to you I'm Thorndraxxus, and you a way to prove to me that you're this Mara character, until then, let's just agree to work together.
Honestly, I don't think there's ever going to be a way for us to really prove who we are to each other with all the stuff going on here on Polyfin. But I can assure you that Salarist, he's alive. This whole thing's been a setup.
Of course. He's a trickster to the core, the bastard.
So, Brick, you continue to try to put distance between you and the Nexus goons that are in the car behind you. You are gliding down the rain-slicked street of the Permanite world Polyfin, deeper and deeper and deeper into Hakame Prefecture, looking for the landmarks that will let you know that you've arrived. But first, you've got to put more distance between you and those goons. Go ahead and give me one more Dex pilot roll and cross them fingers, boy.
Am I just getting like speed far away from them with this one?
It's up to you.
Can there be a drawbridge?
I'll tell you what. You know that there is a construction site coming up.
Okay.
And there's a ramp that you've had your eye on for the better part of 3 or 4 months. And you're a dirt bike enthusiast. You're like, damn, I gotta figure out how to get my bike there, go off that ramp and not get caught. And you see a golden opportunity, my friend.
All right. I maneuver us, I line us up, and I think I've got my spot ready. I know where I'm going to land, and what's that? I think I know that spot. Yeah, we got to get there.
Mara, you see him lining up for this jump, and you know exactly what this dude's doing.
Brick!
Hold on, everybody. It's an 11.
Oh, my God. Brick cannot fail a roll.
Brick!
The HP for this.
As you rocket off of the jump, up a whole story into the second level of a car garage, the crab car's brakes screech, gripping onto the thick atmo of Polyfin and into the darkness of the not quite fully constructed car park. Brick quickly cycles his way down to the bottom and out the opposite side entrance and into an alleyway.
Park the car.
Jeez, where'd this guy learn to drive? An airport?
Listen, we walk from here. Everybody out.
Just as well. I'd like to get out of this car with the little bit of lunch I have left. Where are we going?
I know a guy.
You know a guy. Great.
I know a guy.
Meanwhile, you hear Kano groan from the back, barely hanging on to consciousness.
Yeah, I start snapping my fingers in Kano's face. Kay, come on, man. We're gonna get you some help.
You have to carry him, though.
See the spirits.
I wouldn't have it any other way.
I do love being carried.
And I, like, help you out of the car.
Thank you, Thorn.
And I take the pad from you and I stash it so that you're not holding on to it in your stupor. No offense.
So before we walk away and head out towards Mara's guy, Brick puts his hand on Thorn's shoulder, looks down at him, puts his fist in his face. Listen, if you're not who you say you are, if you get her in trouble, if she gets hurt because of you, then you're going to catch a brick to the face. And I hold my fist up and tattooed across my knuckles is B-R-I-K. Then we walk off.
Amazing.
Hey, Spacers, thanks for cruising through the cosmos with us. If you want to go behind the airwaves and dive deeper into our universe, join our Patreon crew.
You'll get ad-free early access to every episode, as well as a host of bonus content, including Star Master logs, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. Ooh. Your support helps keep this ship running, and the stories unfolding. So if you love exploring the Viridian Expanse with us, hop on over to patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast and become part of the crew. Thanks for being on board. Let's follow that signal together.
You follow Mara deep into Polyphin's underground, through service tunnels and forgotten corridors. The air grows stale and heavy with ozone. You're sifting through ancient mud, dirt. The number of unhoused peoples increase. You hear sirens ever more distant. Even the coppers don't want to come into this area. Eventually, she leads you to a rusted door marked with a faded red cross. She knocks twice. A moment later, the door slides open. Apparently it opened on its own accord, though, because there's no one on the other side. Mara walks in without a care. She doesn't even check the corners, although Brick does, but you do get the sense that he's been here before. Inside, the clinic is cramped and cluttered with cybernetic parts and flickering monitors. Surgical arms hang overhead like dormant insects. This is Dr. Stiles' place, an old Ripper doc who's patched up more ghosts than people remember. Dr. Stiles is near the insect-like machinery. He's tall and wiry. He seems to be one with the machines in his environment, just another arm on the great apparatus that is over the recumbent bed that is in the middle of the room. He has skin the color of old brass and a lattice of fine circuitry tattooed across his scalp. His eyes are mismatched. One is cloudy and original, and the other a bright red implant that whirs softly when it focuses. He laughs. Mara, and Brick, of course. Welcome back, my old friends. Come in, of course, come in. And then who do you have here? Who have you brought to old Dr. Sile today?
I finally have a lead, Doc.
Oh, to that Savaro guy?
Cellarist.
Oh, Celeryist.
Yep, sure. I have someone who can help us.
He puts his hands on your shoulders and he leads you and Mara. Come, sit. And he leads you to the bed. Might as well check your implants while you're here. He sees Kano and he says, oh, whoa, what happened to you, young man?
Yeah, I got Kano like on my shoulder. Like, Kano, your arm is like around my shoulder and I'm holding some of your weight.
I took one or two stun batons to the old noggin and, could certainly use a little bit of a checkup, if you will. And I see you have quite a few parts here. Do you also speak to the spirits of the machine?
The spirits of the... Oh! Shintek?
Of course. And you?
No, but much respect. The Shinteks have come in from time to time, and of course I've been to the temple. Some of my best clients. Yes, wow. Well, I'm sorry, Mara. And he kind of removes you from the bed. You, come here. You're more in trouble than young Mara here. I can run your diagnostics after, young lady. Please, lie down, my good friend.
I will just kind of pass out over here. I had a bit of a bumpy ride over.
You lay down and almost immediately fall into unconsciousness, feeling the soft, warm embrace of technology pulsing all around you. You feel finally, for the first time in an hour, safe.
Take good care of him, Doc. He's the only person on this planet I feel like I can actually trust.
For as dirty and dingy as everything is in here, the actual medical equipment is squeaky clean. And he pats one of the insectoid arms that's hanging above the bed and he says, believe it or not, even down here in the underbelly of Polyphin, I've managed to scrounge up some of the most advanced medical technology this side of the system. He'll be just fine. He'll be back on his feet in just an hour or two. He'll be on the mend for the better part of a month, but he'll be operable. He'll be in a bit of pain. He'll be stiff, but you'll have him back.
I pat him on his unconscious shoulder.
He goes over and he programs a couple things, and the arms whir to life, beginning to ease the bruises across his scalp and shoulder and stitch up a single laceration that is across his brow. Two electrodes come down and connect to his temple and begin to like gently electroshock him. And as a bonus, two robotic hands come up out of the end of the bed and begin to massage his feet. When you look kind of oddly at that, the good Dr. Stiles says, hey, a lot can happen through the feet. There's a lot of pressure points, a lot of nerve endings. It's all very scientific, but it's going to help with his recovery.
Oh, he's a pervert. Got it.
Hey. I only take pictures of the feet if they allow me to. Everything's on the up and up in this black market biomod center, okay? And on that note, are we looking?
Not today, Doc.
Well, if you ever know anyone that wants illicit black market biomods, if they want to become more machine than man, send them on down to the old Dr. Style.
I can't think of anybody I know who wants that.
Especially you, he points at Thorn. If you ever know anyone.
I'm sure I will never meet anyone who wants a bionic eye or a robot body.
Back on the scapegoat, Thorn has just told that part of the story.
Thorn!
You gave the guy feet pics?
I didn't give him feet pics.
Thorn, you've known about a biomod specialist this whole time. You never told me? Hey, fucking hell, man.
You have ugly feet, Felix.
Sort of discount, Felix.
Haley, I have robot feet. Okay.
Listen, I know that you're really interested in all this body modification stuff, but let me finish the story before you jump to conclusions.
Fine. All right.
Anyway, like I was trying to say, we're at the doc's place and Mara's in the middle of explaining what we're even doing there.
After a year of chasing shadows, I found a lead. All the Nexus Corp communications pass through automated data relays, and each one holds a rolling 7-day cache before permanent deletion. The relay nearest to the maglev crash site was taken offline for repairs hours after the crash. It never came back online. Its cache may still hold the command to the AI pilot, the orders, whatever, from the Nexus executives. And if Salaris' death was staged, the evidence is gonna be there. But that cache can't be accessed by any normal means. We have to go to that relay and we have to take it in person.
So then what do you need me for?
I was told that you had a cipher.
Wait, this cipher? And I pull out the data pad and flash it. So you're telling me you didn't send me this message?
You didn't send me this message saying to look for you, that you had some information for me that would help me?
I never even knew who you were until I got this message saying that I should look for you.
Doc Style comes forward. Can I see that? And he puts his hand out for the data pad.
I reluctantly start to hand it to him because the last person who said that then tried to murder my good friend, but I do give it to him.
To be fair, the last guy that said that tried to walk away. And then you were like, hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, but then what happened?
He tried to murder your friend.
Are you on the side of Nexus?
Me? No.
Are you a Nexus goon?
Me? Doc Style, he takes it and he says, I just, it's weird. It's missing a sender. Do you see this?
I noticed.
Okay, yeah. Basically an anonymous. This shouldn't even be possible on the Nexus network. Yeah, this is through the Nexus subnet of the ExoNet. Yeah, this should be impossible. Do you mind if I check this out?
I just look at Mara.
Yeah.
What are you looking at her for? She trusts me. And he goes off and he plugs it in.
You do trust this guy, right?
Other than Brick, he's the only person I have left on this planet who could help us. That message may have been anonymous, but you're still the best chance I got.
Well, you're mine, too.
Mara, they could have followed us. I don't know. I don't know if we can stay here long. We still on for tonight? The relay?
We still got it. We're going to be on track.
This guy had what we needed?
He did. That cipher, now that we have a copy, we can figure out what happened. Be able to figure out where Salaris is.
Your family's gonna rest in peace, Mara.
Doc Style walks over as you're sharing this moment with the data pad and he says, yeah, no sender. It's almost as if you typed this out yourself and just had it on your data pad. Like it was never sent.
Yeah, I must have got really drunk and just came up with a cipher all by myself.
I give Thorn very suspicious eyes.
Well, you know, it starts, you know, Z7X, ends with at CW3. Those are, you know, the prepend and append of relay code. So, I was listening to you. So this seems like it's the relay code. So relay codes can do a bunch of different things, right? So each of the different relays that are all over the Nexus area of Akame Prefecture, for instance, have these relay codes. They're rolling codes. So they're only good for so long. You can go to a relay, go up to the platform control panel, and if you enter this in, or if you have like some sort of connection, you can plug it in, and it'll give you access to the terminal. They're usually only good for about 24 hours. But if what I'm hearing is correct, that relay went offline. So if it's offline and you're trying to access its cache, and this is the code that it's expecting from when it was last online a year ago, when you power that relay back up, you should be able to use this code to access everything in there, everything you could want.
So we're good to start the mission.
I'm sure if Kano was awake, he would say that the data pad reached out to me itself.
You have weird friends, Thorn.
Oh, hey, whoa. The Shintech religion may be a little odd, Mara, but we should still reverence. They're doing good work in the city.
Yes. I'm sure she doesn't have anything against Shintech.
Oh my God. That's it. We get to the relay tower. We solve this mystery for both of us.
And as you're saying that, he goes over and he touches Mara's scalp. Mara, you don't react at all because you're so used to this. He peels back a piece of skin, and there's a port there. And he plugs into the port, and he begins running the diagnostics on your two different biomods, one of which is your eye mod,
mm-hmm.
which allows you to zoom up to 500 meters, telescopic vision. And the other is your ghost talker transceiver, which allows you to talk with Doc Style up to, you know, a pretty good distance. So it has audio-visual transmission. So sometimes when you need help, he acts as your tech support. So he runs diagnostics on that, and on his datapad, Thorn and Brick. Brick's seen this before, but Thorn especially, you can see on his datapad as he runs the diagnostics that he can see through her eyes, and there's a little bit of feedback as you're talking, you can hear your own voice. Mara, when you were zooming in, have things been a little blurry for you? It doesn't look quite right to me.
It's been a little bit harder these days, Doc.
Okay, you gotta come in. You gotta come in and see old Doc Style when you have these problems. It's not biology. It's biomodology. It's something I could fix. Just a quick patch. Beep, boop, beep. Is that better?
Yes. I can't really see 500 meters in any direction here, but...
A comedian,
number one,
huh?
Or number two?
Number one, number two. Is it number one or number two?
Number two. No.
So he unplugs from your scalp and he folds your skin patch back into place.
Mara, I'm going to go get transport prepped. When this guy is up and running, I think we can get going. I gesture towards Kano.
Got it. We'll check on Kano.
Kano is good to go in just a few more minutes. So Brick goes upstairs and he finds transport.
I'm prepping, just so everybody knows, I'm prepping motorcycles.
Also, does this mean Mara providing feet pictures because she is so desperate to kill these guys that she's like, yeah, I'm giving myself pedicures for the Ripper dog? Like, I thought oh, this is like Victor from Cyberpunk. But no, it's fingers.
It's fingers. It's 100% fingers. And you just like offered me up to him.
I know.
His robot massages feet for purely medical purposes. However,
totally.
It's a blood flow thing.
He does accept credits. But if you don't have credits,
he accepts digits.
Block 6 insurance companies ever going to pay out to me? To Mara Vex?
I think
you're dead.
Oh, shit, yeah.
So they paid out your life insurance. Oh, but you had no family that survived, so I guess mm-hmm. They kept all of that.
Mm,
convenient.
And guess who owns the insurance company in Hakame Prefecture? Nexus Corp.
Nexus Corp.
Everything ends up there.
They made money when you and your family died.
Yeah.
So you go up and you prep some motorcycles. I don't know where you're getting them. So why don't you go ahead and roll... Actually, Mara's the one with all the connections in this area. So Mara, why don't you roll connect?
Ooh, yay. Thank you. I'm excited.
Brick has connections in this area, but only through the strength of Mara.
Am I running this on intelligence or wisdom? I would say we're going to go with wisdom.
Okay.
Or charisma.
I think wisdom's great.
Wisdom's great. Yeah, that's what I thought. Cool. Roll wisdom or eight.
Great roll. A 6 and a 2. Good roll. So, Brick, you go up and you have a contact with a gang in this area. It's a small gang, but they kind of spread across the sector. So they're in like they're on different planets and they're even on space stations.
Oh, no.
So anyway, you get some motorcycles from this unnamed gang.
Yeah. Do the motorcycles all have like...
Rat insignias.
A rat motif.
Yeah, there's a rat motif, and they have like little fangs.
They do have fangs, or do they have mohawks?
Oh, they have fangs. Okay. No, they're neon lames.
More like lames.
More like lames.
They're neon lanes.
Neon lanes.
Get out of here.
Neon lanes. Glad I thought of it.
I thought of it.
So you ascertain some... kind of shitty grav bikes from them, but at least they don't have wheels. They're a step up. And Kano, you are back on your feet. You are stiff. You are in pain, but you have full capability of your body thanks to the advanced technology that Doxile had access to. So you are back to your maximum hit points of 6. And you don't have to limp, but you feel like you want to limp. So you limp upstairs with your two friends, and everyone gets on their own motorcycle.
Something's just feeling a little off about my feet. I just can't quite place it.
Your feet feel great and violated at the same time. So you all get up, and there are 4 motorcycles waiting. You each get on your own motorcycle, and led by Brick, you make your way off to the broken relay on the north side of the prefecture. On the way, you pass residential block 6. Mara and Brick don't even look up. But when you see the big 6 emblazoned on its side, Thorn and Kano, after hearing the story that you heard in the car and finished in Doc Siles' place, you can't help but look up. 30 stories up, at least, a blackened, fire-ravaged hole still exists inside of the building. The maglev is long gone. But they never rebuilt that part of the block. But that hasn't stopped people from living there. Every floor leading up to that one is populated. People walking around inside, lights are on, laundry is hanging outside, and even more crazily, people are living above the crash site in a part of block 6 that looked like it's ready to crumble into the street at any moment, but has been hanging on for a year, so maybe it's safe. But that spot, those rooms, those apartments, that's where Mara used to live a year ago with her family, who were all killed in the crash. You continue speeding along the slick streets of Hakame Prefecture in Polyphen. It's been about 6 hours. It's still nighttime. It's always nighttime. You leave the general section of Hakame Prefecture's city center, and it's a bit of a highway for just a few short miles leading to the next prefecture. Here is the only glimpse of nature that many people in this area will ever get. Barren wasteland, scrub grass, a lone tree here and there. The megacity isn't allowed to extend to this area because, well, they have to dump their refuse somewhere. Mounds of garbage and toxic waste, streams that have been turned into sludge. What you can only assume was once a large hill has now been beaten down and is but a small lump covered in garbage. But out here is the Northern Hakame Prefecture Relay. A large cell phone tower-looking structure with a platform about 100 feet up and then 50 feet more of relay reaching off into the sky above that platform. That control platform is where you are trying to go. And there is a latticework of stairways snaking their way all the way up to that platform. The relay itself is fenced in, chain link, large berth around it, lots of parking, but no one's been here in well over a year. The gate is locked. You drive your motorcycles up to it, stop, kick out the stands, and get off. What would you like to do?
Well, as Britt gets off his motorcycle, I'm kind of looking around the area. I've been watching for tails the whole time, looking for threats, on alert, looking out for any of those goons.
Looking around, you don't see anyone in any direction whatsoever, except for back on the highway, which is now about 200 meters behind you. You can see a steady stream of cars and maglevs making their way around.
All right, Mar, looks like we're clear. We should move in.
Great. Let's break through.
Brick, you came prepared. You take out your bolt cutters and you snap the chain and push open the rusted fence. It's about a 100-foot walk to the relay.
Hit point.
Keep your eyes open, Kay.
I tap my ghost receiver just to make sure that Doc Styles, like, aware that we're here, just to confirm that that connection is made. He sees what's happening.
You hear in your cochlear implant, Doc Styles says,
I hear you, Mara. I can see. Be careful. I don't like the looks of this.
Let us know if anything comes up, Doc.
I'm trying to access the satellite feeds now, but you know Nexus. They got it locked down. I'll do my best, and good luck.
Thanks. See you on the other side, Doc.
See you there.
Brick leading the way on point, sweeping back and forth, looking for trouble. The 4 of you make your way the 100 feet towards the relay. The relay looms like a skeletal tower against the haze of Polyphen's upper sprawl. It's an ancient, rust-streaked antenna stretching high into the neon sky. Its lower levels are all exposed steel and forgotten scaffolds. There are open-air platforms bolted onto its frame like afterthoughts. Cables whip and hum in the wind. Flickering hazard lights blink through the gloom. Faded Nexus Corp logos cling to the metal, half-eaten by rust. It's been a long time since anyone's been here, and the climb up those winding stairs look dangerous. As you approach the last 25 feet to the relay, a van screeches to a halt at the entrance to the fence, barreling over your four motorcycles that were left there, and goons begin to pile out. They take cover along the side of the fence. You see them whip out their guns. They search through the gloom for you. They haven't spotted you just yet, and they're pretty hard to see themselves, but it's only a matter of time.
I gesture everybody, take cover, get down
yeah, I run behind some detritus.
Yeah, there's a couple barrels near you. You take cover.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm imagining myself like spider crawling with like my laser pistol behind a barrel.
Yeah, that's true. I gotta take my pistol out too.
So I guess you guys have to decide what you're doing. You're currently taking cover. Are you trying to sprint up the stairs? Because these guys are here. They obviously know that you're here. What would you like to do? Are you going to stand and fight or are you going to flee?
How many of them are there?
You can see at least four, two on each side of the fence, but you don't know how many may have piled off the other sliding door on the other side of the van that just pulled up.
If I know anything about Nexus goons, they're like cockroaches. It's the ones you can't see you got to worry about.
We got to get inside and activate this relay.
We have the element of surprise now. I say we take them out, we get up that tower, get what we need, and then get the hell out of here before reinforcements show up.
We're not turning around now. Brick's right. I pull out my laser pistol.
If we try to go up the tower, they'll see us for sure.
Let's take a couple of them out.
Okay, sounds like you're standing and fighting. Everyone roll initiative. There are four Nexus goons that are visible, so I'm going to roll initiative for four of them, but that doesn't mean there's only four.
It does. You can't lie to us. It's against the rules.
Yeah.
Wait, show me the rule. Show me the rule that says I can't lie to you.
I wrote it in Sharpie in the back of my book.
Show me the rule.
You can't legally add enemies to the combat.
Okay, with a roll of eight, Brick's gonna go, and then Mara, Thorn, one of the Nexus guards, Kano, and three more Nexus goons, and then maybe more. So, Brick, currently, it's your turn. The Nexus goons don't seem to have noticed you, but they do also obviously know that you are here, otherwise they would have not shown up at all. They are cautiously moving through the fence toward you.
So, I'm kind of crouched behind a barrel, and I'm going to kind of line up a shot with the Nexus goon that's kind of like center left, moving up, and I wait till I get a good bead on him, and then I open fire with my light pistol.
Ooh, okay. The guns are coming out.
Yep.
Yeah.
I got a nat one there. However, I am a warrior, and I want to hit that first guy, so I'm going to turn that into a hit.
Ooh, nice.
Bang,
I love when people
bang.
Use their rerolls.
I am a warrior.
And I'm going to do... I'm going to do three damage. So as he moves up, I line up and I let loose a few shots, and I seem to make contact.
He takes one to the chest and falls down to a knee. You imagine that he grunts, but he's too far away for you to hear. The three guys around him see him and begin to fan out a bit more. They do not seem overly concerned about their downed compatriot. Mara.
Mara is going to try and take a shot, she's not going to try. She is going to feel inspired by that crazy headshot she got earlier in the evening.
Ooh.
Despite apparently needing a diagnostic on her iMod, but, you know, she's just that skilled. And she's gonna shoot at one of the Nexus goons, whomever is closest to her. Ugh, there's a five hit.
five does not hit.
So I watch as my little laser pings off of just a random piece of debris, you know, hide back behind my cover.
Aura, stay down. I've got this.
Thorn Draxus.
I'm hiding behind the barrels nearby where Brick is, and I've got my laser pistol ready. I'm not super good with guns, and last time I tried to fire this thing while we were making a quick escape, the recoil almost launched the thing out of my hand. But I'm going to do my best to try and lay down some covering fire. And so I'm just firing my laser pistol off at these dudes, and I see Brick gets a hit on one, and the guy's like clutching his wound. And so I take aim at him specifically, and I try to put a laser.
Go for wounded.
Yeah, try to finish him off, you know.
That guy looks like he's out of the fight. Might as well murder him.
He's not moving as much, you know, so.
That's true.
Finish him off.
Thorn's always looking for dudes to finish off.
Always.
Oh, God. Wow. Thorn in his flat. So I feel like Thorn is telling the story and he's embellishing. And he's like, and
so
yeah.
There I was trapped behind the barrels. There were six guys fanning out to surround us. I took aim with my laser pistol. I saw a guy, our eyes locked. He pulled out his gun, ready to fire on me, but I was quicker. I drew it from its holster and in one swoop, I blasted him right between the eyes. I got a caught off in the distance through the hole in his head as he fell to the ground.
Jesus. Yeah, and he's dead.
So for listeners at home, that was an 18 hit with 6 damage.
Insane. In real life, in what really happened, you know, a year ago, was Thorn was hiding behind the barrel, completely hidden, just firing backwards over his head, going,
I just had like one eye closed and one eye kind of open, just like spray and pray.
And then you're on the escape room with me like, here I was. 4 predators surrounding me. I'm covered in mud, a Bowie knife to my name, and no pants.
None of us believe him. We're just sitting there shaking our heads.
I was the only one left.
And a guy collapses to the ground. Before the next guy's turn, they all have to roll morale because the first enemy went down in a blaze of thorn-like glory. So I'm going to roll for the 3 guys you can see.
Keep saying that. Told you, you're not allowed to lie to us.
I know, right?
Number 1 succeeds. He will be sticking around. Number 2 succeeds. He will be sticking around. We have a DC of 8. I rolled a 7 and an 8. Number 3 succeeds. Rolled a 3, which is last time I checked, mathematically under an 8. So he will be sticking around.
They don't give a shit about their friend.
They look at him and then they assess their own philosophical feelings on mortality and they go, I could deal with this. So,
it's not that they don't care about their friend. It's that they care about the mission, and they know that their friend knew what they were getting into.
So this guy runs forward, takes cover behind a barrel, and takes a shot at Brick, who is kind of diagonally to him, also taking cover. So because Brick is taking cover, this guy is going to take a -2. Good thing I only rolled a 5, because I rolled max damage on this rifle for 12 damage.
Yeah, 5 does not hit Brick.
That's a big yikes for me, though, about the damage.
Because he's a what is colloquially known as a non-player character, he can't use the warrior ability to reroll that to automatically kill your ass dead. You can thank me later. You owe me a soda. Okay, so that's that guy. He missed. And Kano, your turn.
Well, is there anywhere besides the barrels to sneak and hide, or is this a true firefight?
Yeah, you can just sneak off into the dark. There's all kinds of refuse and barrels and darkness itself if you want to hide.
Understood. I think I'm going to take a shot with my laser pistol at the guy still in open cover at the top, and then I'm going to use my movement to move towards the stairs, to use them, even though they are just partially slatted, for some type of cover.
Okay. Do it up. What's your weapon?
A laser pistol.
Ooh. So we have a good variety here. We have 2 laser pistols and 2 old world style gunpowder pistols.
Or a 15 for 5 damage.
Oh, 15 hits. And which guy were you hitting? The guy that moved up, or one of the 2 that stayed back?
Most north, the guy that has not taken cover yet.
Okay, 15 hits, 5 damage, instantly splatters this guy's brains all over the chain link fence behind him. I mean, you're playing not Robert Ross, and you're still exploding heads left and right.
He can't help it. It's in his nature.
It's what I do.
Okay, Assistant GM, do they have to roll morale or no?
If they're at half of their total forces, but we can only see 2, I don't know if that means there's more or not.
I am going to do secret GM rolls in Foundry.
Great.
Secret GM rolls.
Now you don't know if I'm rolling or not.
Secret GM rolls.
And that's what we call social engineering.
I will not call it that.
You will call it that, or your character will not survive.
And that's what you call social engineering.
Damn it, don't social engineer me. I'm social engineering you. God damn it. Okay, so I may or may not have made a morale check. And Nexus Guard is Nexus next. So
Nexus Guard.
I don't improve my jokes, please. And he's going
glad
to take...
Glad I thought of it.
Classic Box. We need to bring Box back. He's stuck on Kamiri 4. You guys got to swing down and switch out Froggy for him or something.
It's nice that we didn't kill him, though, because that means he's out there.
He might have been in one of those fighters that you guys fought.
That's true.
Yeah, but we failed to destroy any of them.
That's true. He's alive either way. So this Nexus Guard is Nextus. Glad I thought of it. And he is going to fire upon thee. Yeah, he moves up and he gets behind a barrel on the opposite side of his friend, who is also hiding behind a barrel. And he throws out a cylindrical object. It doesn't land exactly where he wanted. It lands about 10 feet behind the four of you. So between the three of you and the stairs where Kano is currently hiding behind the stairs, a cylindrical object hits the ground and with a hiss pops open, and a huge geyser of smoke exudes from it, clouding the area around it in thick flowing smoke. Kano, you are just barely outside of the smoke on your side of it, and the three of you are just outside of the smoke on your side of it. Obviously, he was trying to lay down a smoke grenade, but sort of failed.
Now Kano's in, like, super cover.
Yeah, now Kano can just, like, walk away.
You wanted stealth. You got it.
That was my goal. Perfect. Love it.
As the round ends, you hear the telltale thwop, 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 thwop of a dual rotor skimmer Nexus made coming out from the city and flying low over the relay tower. This is essentially a dual bladed helicopter with hover maglev capabilities. It's incredibly mobile. It can fly in any direction, hover instantly. It can, like, land incredibly quickly. It can rise into the sky faster than you can blink.
It's a VTOL.
What's a VTOL?
Yeah, what you just said.
It's, again, a Nexus vertical skimmer.
Vertical takeoff and landing.
No. Vertical. If it's purely horizontal in nature. Everything it does is diagonal. Like, okay, hold on, wait a minute, hold on. If it was anything, it'd be a bishop, not a rook.
Okay.
So it diagonally moves in towards you. I just can't let Brian be right.
And it goes, no. Woo, 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 woo,
woo, woo. Yeah, it Zoidbergs towards you from the sky, and a giant spotlight, boom, crashes down on you, lighting the scene. The Nexus goons are still in darkness, but all four of you are now lit up like Christmas trees out of the ground. Big 50-foot spotlight that's radiating down on you with 10,000 lumens of force. You are half blinded and extremely visible in an otherwise very dark landscape. And what's worse, you can no longer see the Nexus goons that you were fighting. You are completely light blind.
I can't see a damn thing.
Damn it, we're outmatched here.
We still have to get up this tower.
I know. I put my hand on Mara's shoulder. I said, we're hunkered behind the barrels. Mara, we've come this far. You've come this far. You have to get this intel. Give me your gun. Give me any ammo you've got. I'll hold them off. You go get that information.
No.
Take these guys up there. You get that information.
Whoever's going to go up that tower needs to have a safe way back down. And Thorne's the only one with the cipher.
Me.
He's going to have to go up.
I look over at Kano.
We've done this a long time, and I'm exactly where I need to be.
I wouldn't be here without you, bro. Take care of yourselves. I'll be back.
And then I just, like, book it up the stairs while they cover me.
Don't fuck it up.
You owe me so many Loki Pawn cards.
Oh, but, well, when he goes to go up the stairs, I motion for him to throw me his pistol.
I just throw it at you, I guess.
Thorne, you leave your three friends behind as you sprint up the rain-slicked stairs of the skeletal, defunct relay tower, floor after floor after floor, until you finally reach about 90, 100, 110 feet up, near the very top, the control platform. Below you, gunfire still rages between the two opposing forces. The skimmer circles overhead, lighting the fight like a play, keeping your friends blind as Nexus goons close in. You look out the street. There are three vans now. There is at least a dozen goons outside the fence. Half a dozen have made their way inside. And what's worse, some of the goons are setting up shields in the dirt, creating ways for their friends to get closer. Smoke grenades, flashbangs, covering fire. All of this against three tenacious, albeit, but overwhelmed people that are holding the line, all for you to come to the top of this tower. You duck into the control room, and you find yourself faced with a large control panel. There's a large power switch that turns a relay on, and there is a blank screen next to it.
I activate the relay.
The control panel swings to life with a beep and a cascade of lights. You hear a noise from behind you, and a voice. Thorne, soft, familiar tone.
I reach for the pistol that is not there because I gave it to Brick, and I spin around real fast to see the source of the voice.
At first, you don't recognize the figure. A person in tight black clothing, a loose, dark-colored cloak fluttering down to their knees. They are backlit as the skimmer flies overhead.
Who's there?
But the skimmer passes, and your eyes adjust, and then you recognize a form from the past.
Mother?
She steps into the room.
What the hell are you doing here?
I sent you that message on your datapad. I'm sorry for all the cloak and dagger, but it's necessary.
Mother, this is ridiculous. What do you mean you sent the message? What's going on?
I sent you the message to meet Mara. I sent Mara the message to meet you. I orchestrated that entire encounter with the intention to bring you here at this time to avenge the family, to reveal the truth of Solaris' fake death, and after 10 years, to speak with my little boy.
It's been a long time. The whole time that I was in that prison, I never heard anything. I thought the entire family had abandoned me, that everyone just assumed I was guilty.
They did abandon you, and it's my fault, your mother's fault. Thorne, I have so much I need to say to you and not much time to say it. Solaris is not the one who betrayed you. I am. Solaris was running a smuggling ring, and I knew that your involvement with him was dangerous. I know that your ambitions and your recklessness and your deals would cause our company great pain. You were an increasing risk. I looked at the sheets, I crunched the numbers, I saw the probabilities, and I knew that our corporation was not going to last with you at the helm, and I knew you were set to inherit it. You needed time to mature. You needed to listen to reason, but you refused. You made deal after deal, deals that collapsed, larger and larger money sinks. Bankruptcy wasn't on the brink, but it was on the horizon. I'd uncovered a lot of information about Solaris. I was going to expose him, get him out of our lives forever, and hopefully with that connection gone, you would simply come back into the fold. But then you started making deals with other people that were not Solaris, outside of his connections, and I knew that this web had grown too large, that you had bought into this idealized life of more and more money. The end goal was never more money, Thorne. We had enough. It was not worth risking everything. So I couldn't just take Solaris out of the picture. I had to remove you as well. I didn't know how long your sentence would be, but I implicated you in the smuggling ring alongside Solaris, knowing that both of you would go to jail. But I didn't expect Solaris to pin it on you. Thorny, I know I can't undo the last 10 years. I can't undo the damage that I've done to you. God knows I want to try. After you were gone, Solaris made his move. With the power of Nexus Corp, he was able to take over the company. 5 generations to lose in 10 years. And now, for those same 10 years, I have been working to reclaim it. But just after we lost the business, an assassin nearly killed me. I survived only by luck, and I've been on the run ever since. And after Solaris' supposed death, well, I knew something just wasn't quite adding up. I know the information you need is in that control panel. And where I have failed, I believe that you can succeed. Thorny, this is only the beginning. Do you understand?
Thorne is kind of completely dumbfounded right now to find that his own mother, the person that he respected the most in the world, is the one who set him up and got him imprisoned for 10 years. So he takes a few seconds to process that and then remembers that this is also the woman not only that raised him, but that brought Drax's goods to where it was. And so she had a great mind for business. And if he thought that he was in the way, that maybe she had good reason to think that. He knows he made some mistakes.
Mother, it's a lot to take in, but I will make sure that Solaris pays for what he did. I can forgive you, but him I will never forgive.
Solaris is alive. I know you can take the data that's in this control panel and find him. I believe in you, and I know that you can take back the company and restore the family. Mara is tough. She can help, and she comes with a bonus. Brick, I didn't choose them lightly. They are motivated, and they are willing, and they want to see Solaris come to justice as badly as we do. I'm pleased that you made an ally in Kano. He's an extremely useful cat burglar with a storied history. Yes, I've read all about him. If he's willing, I would love for him to accompany you, and we would pay him handsomely at the end of all of this. You have a team now. You have friends, dare I say, ones that can help bring down Solaris. Will you do this? Will you take back the company and save the family?
You don't even have to ask. We'll get it back. Drax's goods will be owned by Drax's again. You'll see. I won't give up.
She steps forward and she produces an object from her pocket and hands it to you. Your father's wedding ring, inscribed on the inside with the Drax's family name. I think he would want you to have it.
I just take a look at it in the light and kind of like slip it away. I go in for like a hug.
She sticks out a hand.
I just kind of dumbfounded, a little confused. I grasp it.
She holds your hand for a second, shakes it, and lets go. Thorny, you won't see me again.
What are you talking about? Where are you going? You could come with us.
She takes a step back, looks out the door, and peeks over the railing. The skimmer flies overhead. I better go. And with that, she turns, vanishing up the stairs to the top of the tower.
Mother, wait! Come back! But she was gone. Well, I didn't know what to think, and I didn't have time to process it all. I just downloaded the cache into a chip, and I rushed down the stairs to try to help the others. But by the time I got down there, it was already too late.
No.
Brick and Kano were there, dead. I found their bodies full of laser holes. Mara was gone, as was the van. I watched the skimmer glide off into the night. They didn't care about me at all. It was Mara they wanted. I assume she's dead now, and the cover-up of the maglev crash at Block 6 is now complete. That one last loose end finally tied off.
I'm so sorry.
No, Thorn. Prometheon owns Nexus Corp. If there's data on this station, anything that can help, I'll get it out for you.
Oh, I know, Felix. It's all I can think about. I'm gonna find Salarist, and when I find him... Thorn takes out his pistol out of his holster and he slams it down on the table in front of everyone. I'm gonna kill him.
And then we're gonna piss on his grave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had family problems. Like, I know Thorn is cutthroat and ruthless. I've worked with him long enough. But to turn your own son in, to send your own son to prison? Damn, that is one cold-hearted mother. I guess I see why Thorn has so much trouble connecting with people. Poor guy. I'll help him find who he needs to find and kill who he needs to kill. He'll get back whatever kind of family he wants. But you know, I wonder if he still has the contact information for that Ripper doc. Sounds like you might have some useful techniques.
I always thought Thorn wasn't the most open member of the crew, and honestly, I feel pretty bad that we sort of forced him to talk. I would have struggled to share a story anywhere near that. I hope we'll be able to make it up to him by wrecking Nexus Corp the next time we run into them, and, you know, with our luck so far, I'm sure it's going to happen sooner rather than later. Ugh. I feel pretty bad for forcing Thorn to share that story, and I struggled and wanted to keep quiet on that too. I hope we'll be able to make it up to him by wrecking Nexus Corp the next time we run into them. And with our luck, that's sure gonna happen sooner rather than later.
I still can't believe Thorn betrayed by his own mama. Cold-blooded. That's the kind of cut that just don't heal. They scar over. He ain't never gonna be the same again. Then his team gets wiped out. All of them. You know I've been there. You never forget losing a brother in arms. Doesn't matter how many years pass. When you glance across faces, voices, they stick with you. And you're just stuck sitting there, thinking, why me? Why am I, of all of these men, I the one who survived? I've been there. I know that silence. Thorn, he's still standing. I don't know if that's strength or just stubborn survival. Maybe it's both. All I know is this crew's taking another hit. Storm, the storm I've been feeling, yeah, it's getting closer.
Well, it's true. Framed by my own mother. What of Earth? I haven't thought about Kano and the others in a while. That man was a treasure. He deserved better. One minute I'm trying to focus on exposing Nexus, and the next I'm sailing through the void towards parts unknown. It's hard to keep everything together. But the more I think about it, I wonder about Mara's fate. That doctor, too. Maybe they're still hiding out on Polyfin after all. Still, Felix is right. If there's answers for me, I'll find them when we get to Prometheon. And what the fleck was Ma doing there on Polyfin anyway? She barely answered any of my questions and only presented me with new ones. What is she involved with now? Where did she end up? I just hope she's all right. Her and everyone back on Zephyrus. Please be all right, everyone.
If you're enjoying the show and want to dive deeper into the lore, please check out our Patreon. You'll get ad-free, early access to every episode, plus a whole bunch of bonus content, including the Star Master logs, where I personally break down how the campaign's put together, what I'm planning, what I'm improvising, and what secrets are still waiting in the dark. You'll also get Haley's notes ripped straight from her old-school analog notebook, as well as exclusive character insights, behind-the-scenes glimpses you won't hear in the main show, and much more. Support the mission at patreon.com/darkstaradventurecast. And as always, thanks for listening, and keep following that signal.